This is Iman Shakib. You're listening to the Leap Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Leap Podcast. Today, I have a very special guest. I know I say this all the time, but the people that I get on here are people I love. And today, I have my cousin, who is someone that really inspires me because, first of all, her name is Iman Shakib. She is a 27-year-old who's already established a lot in her life. So I have to give you credit, Iman, for all that you do. She is 27. She's a competitive CrossFit athlete. She is a coach, a mom to a baby boy, and she is also a performance nutrition coach. Hi, Iman. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm so happy that you're here. And the reason why I'm happy that you're here is because you remind me of myself so much. Like, I relate to you on so many levels because we are coaches. We're also moms. There are a lot of things that we do. And people tend to not realize how much sacrifice goes into doing that and in wanting to be a competitive athlete and to help women understand their bodies more, but also the fact that we're also moms trying to take care of toddlers. It's crazy. So introduce yourself. Who are you? What does Iman do for a living? How does your day look like?
Iman. Iman is a mom. Iman is an athlete. I have a full-time job now, and I coach at night, and I do my online programming at night, and I juggle around everything. Don't ask how, it's just khalas. Once you're a mom, you just need to know how to get everything done, and then it's on repeat. It's on repeat. And of course, I train daily, except for one day.
It's a lot.
So you just want to be there. You want to meet everything as a mom, as a wife, as a daughter as well. You need to be there for your family. As a coach, you need to be present for your clients, for the members. It's just a lot. Even as a, you know, for your job, you just need to be like head ditch.
It's not just that. We're also in a very tight-knit culture. I think people tend to not realize our society, we don't do things alone. You know, we are part of a collective society where you have to be involved in everyone's, you know, life. And it takes a lot. I think the reason why I feel it's important to talk to you specifically is because you understand the culture. You understand the mindset of a Khaliji woman who is trying to understand her bodies and to also look past the superstitions that we know, right? And are taught from such a young age. So my question for you is, as a nutritionist, what is your job? What does your job entail?
Basically, I just need to, for me as Iman, I need to guide them as much as possible, educate them, stop all the restrictions and all that, you know, what we've been taught as kids that this is wrong, this is good. And we were built up into these standards. It took us a while to understand that that is actually wrong. And it inhibited a lot of like insecurities, low self-esteem and all of that as we grew up, especially teenage year. So my purpose at the moment is just to make them feel better about themselves, try to take it step by step, understand that they need this health-wise more than appearance. Because if you don't feel healthy, trust me, no matter what you're going to look like, you'll never be satisfied. We'll always want more and more. We need to learn to accept the way we look. We're different. We're humans. We're meant to be different. But of course, people would come up to me. They have goals, and I'm here to help them attain their goals, whether it's lifestyle change, whether losing weight, gaining, maintaining, or they just don't know how to start their journey. So I'm like a guide to them, but I'm trying to add like the mental part of it more than just, I want to look this way, I want to lose this amount of number in this minimum time or whatsoever. I'm trying to change that. And alhamdulillah, I have achieved that with a lot of ladies. And that was really, really hard. So it's just mental for me and for them just to try to understand and reach their level of mentality and boom, okay, I got you. Yalla, khalas, let's start this. And once I'm in that position, I'd be so happy over cloud nine.
It's so funny how there's so much rewiring and deconditioning that needs to take place. Like you said, يعني, I remember growing up and the things that we've been, our relationship with food is brutal. We have extremes, you know. We have this is bad, this is good, and it's not necessary, you know, that some foods are considered bad. And apart from that, I think body shaming was normal growing up. Oh my God. Like, for someone to call me fat, it was a normal. Oh, انتي متينة. I remember it very precisely and very vividly in my head. And I was a child when that was told to me. I was a baby. How is that normal? And I think a part of it did contribute to a lot of my eating habits as a grown-up and how I train and everything that I do, basically, how I view myself. And this is very prominent in our culture. I hear it all the time, you know. Diet culture is rooted within us in a very scary way. And although somewhat dieting isn't the problem, but it's what dieting teaches us. Like, I've heard maybe 90% of my clients go through intermittent fasting, keto. I know a lot of people who are on very low-calorie diets, like 1,200 calories. What are your thoughts about that as a nutritionist?
My first question would be, why do they want to do this? Why keto? Why intermittent fasting? Why be on a 1,200-calorie diet? But it all comes back to dietitian experience, influencers, internet, blogs. So they just follow because it looks appealing, comes from someone appealing. So I try to go down to
the root cause, basically. Yeah, it's like,
are you epileptic? Are you do you suffer from diabetes? Do you have any metabolic syndrome issue that you need to do this? Do you have PCOS, basically? They'd be like, no, then why? You don't have to. And it's so restrictive that it gets them really tired. They hate the diet culture. And then they start saying, "Hna والله سوينا ذي الدايت ما نفعنا بس سوينا ذي الدايت نفعنا." Then ما في فايدة. Then they would go, "I'm not against any surgeries or whatsoever. Do whatever you want. But I don't want anyone to just find the easy way out. Because after that, you will also follow a diet and you will also exercise."
It's interesting how it's easier for people to follow a diet after surgery to some extent. معنا, I feel like surgery is so much harder, you know.
People that already did the sleeve, مدري إيش يسمونه, gastric, ما أعرف. Yeah. See, I'm not into these, but I'm not really familiar with them. They actually are still, you know, dieting, they're exercising, so why just don't continue with that and leave the 1,200? Are you sick? Do you suffer from a disease?
But they would tell you. They would tell you, I lost the weight with this diet.
I would be, why are you back here to me? Why do you need me now? And they're like blank. Because I stalled, because I plateaued, and I don't seem good. Because you're not in a calorie deficit, or you're energy expenditure isn't high enough, or you're just, your body adapted to certain things and we need to reverse you out. And once you tell them reversing out, oh my God, they'd be so scared.
Let's explain to people, what is a calorie deficit? Because, like, I've heard this 500 million times, and basically to lose weight, as like a research-based kind of definition, to lose weight, you have to be burning more than you're eating. That's basically it. But what happens here is that people tend to undereat and overtrain. This is like the general public that I'm talking to in terms of the population that I'm treating here in Dubai, that this is the generic. So what is your advice for people who are in a calorie deficit? Can they stay in a calorie deficit for a long time?
Like, see, you can always start with a very small deficit, which is, we can say 200 to 250 deficit. It takes your body to adapt to these calories 4 weeks, 5 weeks, some even 3 weeks, but not more. But if you can see your body is actually losing 400 to 500 grams a week, then you can still stay in that deficit until you see khalas. You've reached that, your body's just adapted. We decrease again. You just can't decrease bi-weekly. It doesn't make sense. Your body's going to خلاص, you'll end up around 1,000 calories. How are you going to function daily? And you're going to exercise. Yeah. So
like you had to, you'll keep needing to take less and less, which is not sustainable.
Clients with, they come up to me, they've been eating مثلا, I do have actually clients that eat around 900 calories and they'd be like, we want to lose weight. I'm having like this much. I'd be like, I need to reverse you out. And that's going to take a while, maybe 6 months. Are you willing to commit? And then, yeah. Yes, I do have. I reverse them out and then we start their deficit and their deficit starts around 1,900 and they'd be like, we're so full, we're so good. And they start dropping.
And people are scared to eat more, right? People are scared to reverse out of a diet.
حتى 1,400, I know girls are afraid of it, Emil. It's so devastating. It's sad. وساعات you just can't understand. They just don't need a coach. They need someone to back up their mental health with their eating disorder. So يعني this is really sad. إن في بنات they reach to this mentality and they don't accept anything. Like حتى لو مثلا I would say ترى you're wrong. You need to eat. لا بس أنا سويت كذي.
I think that's the worst thing ever. That like I remember even before I became a coach, I remember coming to a class where one of the classes in a gym were suggesting that all the girls drop their carb intake, like completely. And I was an athlete. Can you imagine? I was trying to compete. So when I dropped my carbs, I didn't understand why I need to drop my carbs to begin with. I felt super weak. I felt fatigued. And even my period ended up being late. And I think that's like one of the biggest signs that you probably are not doing your body justice is when your period is not you know, regular. I think that is one of the signs that you're not eating or fueling your body as much. So it's crazy. But what I think the issue here is that a lot of people relate health to weight loss. Like for people, like I've heard it 1,000 times in my own field that, oh my God, you lost the weight, you're healthy. And what are your thoughts about that? About BMI, for example. What are your thoughts about BMI?
This is حتى science-based. It's not accurate. It's been outdated. Alhamdulillah, things are updated. Yeah, especially dietitians, coaches, trainers, whatever. They should not use this. They need to update. Science is updated every 10 years.
Yeah, based on what, though? I think that's what's scary. BMI is literally on your height. Height and age.
Weight loss does not mean health. ليش؟ لعدة أسباب أمل. Okay, weight loss can be healthy if you're obese, if you're suffering from a disease, if you're suffering مثلا with نقدر نقول body dysmorphia also comes in if you're overweight or underweight. So مثلا you were overweight, this would be healthy for you mentally, physically, هالأمور. You have heart disease, you have blood pressure, all of those. This, when I say weight loss is healthy, I mean this healthy. But weight loss also is not healthy if you're anorexic, you suffer from eating disorders, you have methylene, a disease that weight loss is not suitable for you as a person, which will affect you. أحين مثلاً, I'll use an example. Me, pre-baby state. I had PCOS من يعني بداية my marriage, okay? Yeah. I was in a body percentage fat which was low for my body. I was around 17% body fat. So that affected my body in fertility and menstrual
That's
cycle.
That's fairly low. Exactly. 17 is low. Yeah.
The menstrual cycle, fertility, hair loss, all of that plus PCOS. So my doctor told me, Iman, Tara, cut down the training. You got to eat more. You need to increase your body weight. So weight loss was not okay for my condition. So that's why it's not equal to health at all. No.
I had a client who needed to gain weight for fertility reasons too, where it, like, being skinny was actually affecting her possibility of bringing kids to the world. Yeah.
Wallahi al-azim, it was a month before, a month later I was pregnant. It was not planned, of course, but subhanAllah, I cut down training, I ate more, gained 2 kgs, ما magic happened.
And the crazy part is that people are usually crazy about gaining these 2 kgs. You hear it all the time. I just want to lose 2 kgs. I just want to lose. Why? Why is it so important to reach an ideal weight? I think the idea that you need an ideal weight is crazy. Even the idea where a lot of people want to hit their pre-baby weight, for me, is delusional. It's crazy. Because I feel like you are asking so much of your body, so much after going through trauma, after raising a baby. Why is it important for it to be the same weight? I think the way that classes are marketed for moms in general are so, sorry to say this, but effed up. They are effed up. And like speaking about moms, it's something that I hear a lot of the moms in mom groups that I'm in on WhatsApp. They ask for diet plans when they're breastfeeding. They're like, I want to lose weight, but I don't want my milk supply to be reduced, but I want to lose weight. How do you reply, or what are your thoughts about women like going through this mental state while they're nursing a child? And is it possible? Is it possible to lose weight?
Previously, I had 2 clients breastfeeding, C-section moms as well. Amal, wallah ma kadhib alayk, it took us a year plus to lose her weight. She was very patient. It is possible. But I know, you should know who you're dealing with, Amal. This is one. As a nutrition coach, you should know who you're dealing with. If you know she's delusional, if you know that she's depressed, if you know she's so self-conscious about how she looks, I will not start anything. أول شيء أنا دائماً أقول حق كل مرة تولد إذا تقدرين تتحركين لو تمشين 20 minutes a day, that's enough.
And that's what's crazy. Like, just walking is so belittled here. They're like, oh, I walked, but that's not enough. I want to do more. I was like, that's step one. You want to know what's the problem? I hear this all the time. Some people say it, and if you don't lose the weight in the first year, it's too late. Or like, لازم تتلاحقين على عمرك. And I'm just like, who's making up these rules? There is no such thing as too late. You can work on your core even when you're 20 years postpartum. Like, there.
I still do. لا ما لها خاصة. يعني شوفي بقول لك أبسط مثال. نقول 15 سنة from our lives, we were not eating properly, not exercising, overweight. أنا أحط هاي المثال مثال وحدة ولدت ومثلا تركت نفسها 6-7 شهور أو حتى سنة سنتين نفس الشيء starting over your journey weight loss or whatsoever ما في شيء ألحق على عمري يمكن ما أبي ألحق على عمري يمكن راضي على نفسي بس why do we make a standard حق المرة يمكن المرة راضية بشكلها يعني ليش إحنا نحط لازم الحين لا ما في بس إن أنا طبعا yes it is possible to lose weight and keeping your milk supply depending on the foods that مثلا I'll apply for meal plan ايش كثر ماي
but it's about consistency and allowing yourself to be postpartum that's literally it
فمثل ما قلت you need to know who you're dealing with بس يفضل just chill you have all that time يعني انا it depends how long you're going to breastfeed عرفتي
yeah
بس no rush
If I signed up with you for the first time ever, and I'm like, I don't know what to expect from a nutritionist, because I get this question all the time. Like, people think it's just a meal plan, but I don't think it's just a meal plan. There's a lot of education that comes through it. So what can someone expect from their relationship with the nutritionist?
Shay, the most important is the support system. يعني, you should be available. You should understand them. As a nutritionist, فأنت كclient أول شيء النutritionist بيطلب منك أو منك your consistency. You as a person, are you prepared to take this step? طبعاً I do offer 6, 9 weeks, 12 weeks لأن تعرفي الناس إمكانيات ولكن أنا مو بsix weeks أنا أضمن لك النتيجة 6 weeks. يمكن هاي النتيجة اللي احنا بغينا وصلنا لها ولكن بتعيد تجدد معاي لأن أنا ما بغي I'll slash calories directly and خلاص no it's not how it works being consistent following up of course لازم و I need the client to trust the process and يعني خلاص commit fully يعني أنت بيد أمينة
I know this is a very hard question I know the answer to it but I want to hear it from you but How long does it usually take for people to see progress? If you could put like a benchmark where you can guarantee, like, if you're consistent enough, you will see progress.
4 months. The benchmark, 4 months. 4 months steady. يعني it's possible 4 months, yeah. I have the, يعني I myself and I applied هاي الأمور على الناس. It's steady, not too drastic, but it is hard for some. But 4 months is the best, honestly.
I think I definitely, even in a training perspective, by the way, me as ML training for myself, I feel like I see real progress 4 months in, like genuinely speaking, 4 to 5 months, because like you're building a base firstly, you're letting your body adapt, and then you can slowly add intensity. That's, I think, the rule of thumb for your body, to just allow it to process and then adapt and then process and adapt. It's a continuous process. I always tell this to all my clients. You feel like you suck for a month, that's fine. Go back up and do it again. You will have 3 good months, 1 bad month, 4 bad months, 1 good month. Like it's not linear. Nothing is linear. But you need to be consistent, even if it's not linear. Like this is your health. You can't go one day and be like, screw it, I don't need my health. You know, like that's not how it works. It's your lifestyle. It needs to be for the rest of your life, the way that you take care of yourself, because your health comes first, even before your kids, because you can't take care of your kids without your health. I always say this. So, like, not to take too much of your time, but I have a question that I usually ask some of my peeps coming on the podcast. What are, you know, pieces of advice you would like to give women in general when it comes to food, when it comes to their bodies?
Take it step by step, lady. Take it step by step. Learn the foods. See what you love to eat. You don't like broccoli? Don't eat broccoli. You don't like spinach? Don't eat spinach. You can have carrots. You can have corn. But take it step by step. Embrace this transition. And say, don't be hard on yourself. Start with walks. Start with adding good, healthy, nutritious foods. Don't eliminate everything مرة واحدة. Don't restrict مرة واحدة. Try to teach your taste buds into certain kind of foods for a while, because subhanAllah, it's how our body works, how our brain works. Once it gets used to something, it forgets what other foods taste like. And then you don't have the urge to have like, والله خاطري في صالون الديار. Create a routine. حبة. You don't have to be so fast. They say life is short. No, for me, it isn't short. Well, it's not short. We have a long time ahead of us. But enjoy this time of your transition. But don't be hard on yourself at all.
Thank you so much for being here, Iman. I appreciate it. For those of you listening in, you were listening to Iman Shakib, who is my cousin and also a nutritionist that is specialized in helping women understanding what they need for their bodies and how to fuel themselves without the, you know, superstitions and myths that we know in diet culture. At the end of the day, like she said, it is about taking it day by day, understanding what you need in order to be a healthy person, but to also understand that you can have aesthetic goals, but it isn't everything. Just because you look good doesn't mean you're healthy. And just because you don't look like the standard of beauty doesn't mean you're not healthy. So take it step by step. You can do this. And thank you again for listening to the Leap Podcast. Thank you for listening to the Leap Podcast. Make sure to subscribe and tune in. Also, don't forget to leave a rating and review and share it with your friends. It'll make it easier for people to find the show and to also learn from it. Your support means a lot. You can find me on Instagram at leap.of.hope, or feel free to contact me via email, ml@leapofhope.fit. I am your host, Amal Murad, and this podcast is brought to you by Dukan Media. Thank you, and keep leaping.